This morning I'm turning to the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and I read verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And this morning, our subject is God's power to save. God's power to save. And as we find this verse, the Apostle Paul was writing to the Christians in Rome. And he expressed his earnest desire to come there to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and show to them its saving power. You know, these were believers he was writing to. They knew the gospel, they heard it, and they have believed it many years, and they are saved by it. But I'm sure for Paul saying this, he meant that in Rome, as a city, he wanted to be there and preach the gospel of Christ so that others who have not also known the gospel will come to know its power and saving power. That many others apart from them will be saved and added to the church of Christ. And Greek for a twasso, a woman, a bibiara, or be a Greek for any drama, madam, a manamani for to say, I am here Israel for, and an anomaly Israel for. So I say, if I put me a new bibiara or bedje, the sons and perfect used to honor, and you put me out a dear one. And I'm a cast of for no trust, book here, a friend Romans here for my epistle for a whole room, or more normal. I did Christ with the Almighty in some funny pain. Mom, so Christ, I do a monk. I know Kashom any, and I come as why their pass a bad room, a groom for Norbert Kans and Panos or for Nebby Moons of Froa, almost in Tins and Panom, which me at it, and some Panom, almost so being young, so Musuiniano, almost who makes bans and Panom to me a womb. I did it and one. You know, although the Jews that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ saw his death as sinful, they thought by hanging him, making him to be hung on the cross, historically, we are told that that death is one of the most sinful deaths anyone could be given. It was given to criminals and thieves and robbers and people whose life has really been a very serious matter in society. So they thought that crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ, putting him to such a death, was a shameful thing. That's what they thought. Yet Apostle Paul, who has felt the saving power of this crucified Savior, believing that he died for his sin and that he has been saved by such truth, he was not ashamed to preach Christ, who was hung on a cross, who died such a sinful death for us sinners, or to identify himself with him as a Christian. He said that he's not ashamed at all. He doesn't hesitate to own the message that Christ was crucified, that he died, and that they put him in a place of sinners, and that he was shamefully treated, and he was accounted with sinners, and that he died for sinners. He's not ashamed to own such a Savior. Why? Because it was the only means God has chosen to save sinners. That's the only way God decided to save sinners. That he will bring to himself. So that God sent his own son, his only son, as we are told in the Bible, and affirmed as the Bible too, that God's only son should come and take death for us. We as sinners as we are should come from glory, leave his glory, his majesty and all his power over, and to come and die for sinners such as us. And to make us reconciled to God by faith in him. By his death on the cross, to make us, to give us such an opportunity. Apostle Paul said that he's not ashamed of such a message. To speak of it and to demonstrate it to the whole world. Remember, Rome was the capital city of the world. That's at then. They were so civilized in all the world, and I mean, knowledge, everything was still in abundance in such a place. And yet, Apostle Paul said that he wants to go there to keep the gospel, because despite all the popularity, the civility, and everything, many there were ignorant of the saving knowledge of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The air can say, Apostle Paul, I can say, So as we continue with our text and meditating on it, we'll have a few considerations. But the first thing is, why are some people ashamed of the gospel? I don't think they do more new war in St. Panama. The first thing is that because they are not willing to bear sufferings and mockery. The other kind is that if you have a person, you have a person, you have a person, you have a person, you have a you know, when we talk of salvation in Christ, if we are really genuine, we'll face in a way, in one way or the other, suffering and mockery. It may not come as we read in church history, that these great persecutions and everything. But if we are sincere Christians, in our family circles, in our work circles, wherever we come in contact with people who are not Christians, in some way or the other, we'll face some kind of ridicule. We will not, do things for them to, but our stand for the truth and trying to do things right will cause people to somehow, in a way, maybe mock us or try to take things from us. So, it's something that is there for every Christian, because we are told that we are not only to believe on Christ, but we are to suffer for Him, and it's a portion of Christians. But many are not willing to do this. Remember, this is an old thing. In John chapter 12, verse 42 down, we are told that, we are told from 42 to 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on Him, that is Jesus Christ. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. This is what is said about these people. They believed on Him with insincere belief. They tried, they were convinced. Many of these were not the ordinary Jews. They were rulers among, remember Nicodemus was one of the rulers. They were the leaders of these Jews, and they felt that Christ was the Messiah. They were convinced with His message and His demonstration of His divinity, His power over sicknesses and His ability to speak to the heart of men and to demonstrate Himself and being confirmed by the prophet. They were sure that He was the Messiah. But they were afraid and ashamed. They were afraid and ashamed. They were afraid that they would lose their status if they should believe in Him to become His followers. So their faith there is not faith that saves. And many people have that kind of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people have that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes with some kind of religious influence, it makes us see they are saved. Many people have such faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that faith does not save anyone. Remember, we are told that the ruler, many believed on him. But then they should know what? They couldn't confess him. They couldn't own that they are part of his people. And to claim that what he sent is true. Even when people are, the Jews are trying to, remember at one point, Nicodemus, they were speaking against Jesus, but Nicodemus said, no, they should consider what they are trying to say. They asked him, are you part of the disciples also? And remember in chapter 10, when Jesus Christ healed that blind man, his parents, when they asked the blind man, his sister that, so Jesus had told him, and he was one son from God, and they cast him out of their synagogue. So we are told that the parents were also afraid to confirm that he was the person, because they were afraid they would drive them out of the synagogue. So you see, in the Jewish circle, those times, being cast out of the synagogue was a great thing. I'm a Jew, and all the glory of a Jew is being part of their worship, and I'm cast out because I want to preach Jesus. So you can get the idea. So people are not willing to believe truly in him. It's not that people don't have any idea of him. They're not willing to really believe in him, to be saved by him, to really suffer for him. Because they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They love how men will be nice to them than how God will smile at them. Why it is this? They are afraid to lose relations and status. So such people desire no real interest in the gospel. Some people have interest in the gospel, but not real interest in the gospel. Okay, so many people claim, but not real. It's superficial. Because why? The gospel demands separation from all sinful associations. The gospel demands separation from all sinful associations. So many today too are not willing to also lose our relations, other family, or whatever relation we have, and status in life, well, whatever advantages we have. Many of us are not willing to forgo, because at one point in time, we'll be challenged, maybe forgo some of these influences or relations that we have. But many are not willing to separate from such maybe sinful associations. So they are not willing to give them. They will give themselves a general idea of a Christian. But to really stand in and live, give ourselves to Christ so that we can live for him. Many are not willing. Such people are ashamed of him. In their ambitions, you can see it. The choice of their amusement, how they entertain themselves, you can see it. And some people even how they dress or how they want to look out, outside, you can see it. Some in their conduct, their morals, how they wear their manner, they want to carry their character. Can see it, and yet such who call themselves Christians. No. Christianity is not do and don't, but when we have become Christ's servants, the Bible teaches us how we should conduct our lives and what things we should put as our hopes in this life and things we should pursue and things that should be our form of entertainment. It gives us something, but people are not willing to totally separate from these things, and yet they want to be Christians. And many also are ashamed of self-abasement of a godly life. Nipa be brave, so mesma say okaso a Christ only pa mesma say we ye obi a ubra o nasi na we ye obi a say nyankopon asem pa na beso do hoto so obi aka nipa so fa na aka kwa enye wasem no nipa be brave say dey we say nyankopon pe na omo dey na asem aboba nipa be brave. So such people will snub the gospel invitation to genuinely repent and believe in the meek and lowly Jesus. Remember, that's what his name was. The meek and lowly Jesus. The meek. The one so humble himself. We are also that he was reviled. He reviled not back. He was beaten. He never, retaliated. He lived a lowly life. Not that we should throw away our properties and everything, but whatever we have, loneliness or humility is in the heart. It's not what one has or not has. The most poorest person can have the greatest pride in the world. It doesn't matter what we have. It's what our heart and what our hopes and what it moves us. That's what it's the difference. It doesn't matter whether we have everything in the world or not. But Christ, remember, he was the God of all creation. But he was the most humble person. That's what I'm talking about. Many people love the boastful and audacious role models. Nowadays, especially for the youth. Many people growing up, They look at these so-called musicians and these artists and actors and actresses, and whatever they say, and they use it at their role. Most of these people don't care about, what really it is to have a golden life. They want that boastful and audacious lifestyle. And normally the boys will say high spirit. They want people who are in high spirits, who are so boastful, and they care not about, whatever life, whether it is God or not. You see? Such people, sometimes they may try to. Sometimes I used to watch some documentaries in the from the U.S. You see some of these old artists and actresses, and we used to watch them when we were kids. Now some of them will be like, they are kind of religious, they'll be going to these churches, and they'll be talking of their conversion testimony. But if you see what they still pursue, there's nothing to write with. But yet they claim to be having some spiritual influence, Christian influence on of their life. This is what I'm trying to talking about. You see, they portray that as if there's kind of Christianity on them, but it is not. Yet they continue in their whole, they are supporting the same evil industry. They are living for it. Their life, everything is in accordance with the Bible. They claim to be a people of God. So you see, Christ, Jesus, gospel calls us to a lonely and a meek life. A life of humility, a life submitting to all that God only has said. And because people see such a standard so difficult, as we say, the narrow way, the strict way, a life that only is dictated by what God has said. And it makes you become not be able to do many things as people do in the world. And many people don't want that. People want that free life. I can talk anyhow, I can live anyhow, and yet call myself a Christian. No. Because of this, as people don't want to break away from, they don't really want to have that true gospel. Yeah, they seem to have Christian influence upon themselves. They seem to have some gospel. You can talk nicely about Jesus. But no, that true life-changing gospel, giving the repenting of sin and giving their life to Christ, trusting in Him truly, they don't. They know it. If they really, sometimes I don't know if they really know it, because except their eyes are open, some of them are blind to these things. And they have these false pastors also trying to tell them, oh yes, these people are Christians. Not only are other people, even preachers today, some preachers today are also ashamed to preach the gospel. Because what Apostle Paul is saying that, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it's the power of God on salvation to everyone that believes it. Meaning that I'm sure other preachers were ashamed, other who claim to be preachers of the time. And I'm sure some of these Jewish teachers who claim to have so much of religious, would undermine Christ. And I'm sure that's what they did. They traveled to all these churches and tried to cause confusion to make people believe that Christ alone is not what you have to do. You have to also add Jewish ceremonies and other things. So there were others who were ashamed of Christ in that sense also. They seem to embrace the Christian religion, but they were ashamed of Christ. So some preachers today were ashamed to preach the gospel because there's something that is outdated. Something that the gospel message of the cross, of crucifixion and sacrifice are too uncouth for a civilized people like us today. You want to talk of dying animal sacrifice, presenting and Christ himself offering his blood, is too outdated. Let us refine the gospel. That's what some preachers will think. Sacrifice and crucifixion are too ancient. It's not something, we are too civilized for that. So many of such preachers, some are very popular. They can teach many things from the Bible. And some of you will praise Jesus' teachings and his holy life. But for his sacrifice and his death for us, which is the core and the main thing about him, even if they will mention it just at the corner, you see, they are ashamed to speak of his divinity or his death on the cross. Because when they talk of his divinity, maybe they will speak against other religion or other people in their own circles. Or his death on the cross, because maybe other people around them believe that there's other means of salvation. So they will try to. And these are so-called great religious Christian people in our world today. Many people, no, they will not talk as such. And for them to say that we depend entirely on Jesus Christ for salvation, no. Many preachers wouldn't want to say that. They would rather pepper that one and talk about his holy life, his teaching as example and lessons for us. But what will we get if the gospel as is presented in the scripture is taken from the people? How can people be saved? Paul said that it is the power of God unto salvation.
How can people be saved if the gospel is taken away? If preachers are ashamed to make this thing known to those who don't know.
So our second thought under this head is that a second thing that some are ashamed of the gospel because it touches on matters that promote neither worldly advantages nor gains. The pure gospel of Christ, as it is taught in the Bible, has no sympathy for worldly gains and worldly promotion, worldly things. No, it is an opposite thing. The gospel is mainly about spiritual matters. The gospel of Christ is mainly about spiritual matters. Forgiveness of sin by the grace of God, adoption into God's family when we are born again, renewal of our sinful hearts when we are converted, the hopes of heavenly inheritance set before the Christian to pursue while in this world. I remember this morning, my daughter was listening to a song, and she asked me, what does a pilgrim mean? Well, the singer was saying that, I want to be a pilgrim for Jesus. So I tried to explain to her what it was, and I used the Islamic pilgrimage. And I told her that Christians, we are also pilgrims, but ours is not physical. We are spiritual pilgrims. Day in and day, our souls and our hearts and our spiritual side is ever growing, getting closer to heaven. And soon, when we die, we have reached our end of our pilgrimage, or when Christ comes. Ours is not physical pilgrimage, spiritual things. So that is it. You see, when we are saved, this hope is set before us. And again, the Bible tells us, set your affections on things above. And also, let this mind be on you. Heavenly-mindedness. But what does others tell us about being saved? Something else. Gospel is about spiritual matters alone. Heaven, Japanese one that's only see a Kumu, and only a crosso, a Brabomu, a bed, DH, Daniel, the story, and only the Ginges, yeah, we have right, a cobba there, no idea, who has a visit my heaven, no, you bet to me, I did, it's in a mass and you knew, to me, I did, and no name in your mouth in San Pano, yet here, at the brain. So, sad gospel did not delight the Jews who were looking for an earthly Messiah. Who was to make them cross in this world? The Sans Empire, remember when Christ himself started to preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That is what Christ said. The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is not that of the world. Remember when himself he stood before Pilate and he asked him, and I think Pilate told him that they are saying all this against you, won't you answer for yourself? He didn't say anything. And he asked him who he was, and he told him that his kingdom is not of this world. It's not of this world. So let them do whatever he wants. If he wanted to call thousands of his angels, they'll come and fight, but it's not of this world. So he didn't come, Christ did not come and fight physically. That's why it was wrong in churches when, in the name of Christ, churches were persecuting people physically with arms and killing people because they are not accepting Christian religion. And other religions will read and say, see, Christianity persecuted people, it enslaved people. No, those were not true Christians. True Christianity don't have any physical battle with the world. Ephesians 6 tells us we do not fight against physical enemies. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not physical, are not things that which we use physical, but spiritual. And Ephesians enumerates for us our spiritual weapons are. The prayer, truth, and the spirit, and all that we have. Okay, so the Jews didn't like this idea. Those who crucified Christ, most of them didn't like this idea. They wanted an earthly Messiah. The apostles themselves were once contained with this false idea. You know, for them, with time, when they preached Jesus, and they too, these things went out from their mind. Initially, they also had this idea. In Luke 22, verse 4, we were told that, and there was also a strife among them, which one of them should be accounted the greatest. They were fighting about who should be the greatest when Christ established an earthly kingdom.
even the sea of one Quran and Omnichi and I from Apostle, before answer, no move who sir, I dream of no more what I dream, I said, this is a Hindi somehow, a very reacted the almost been young to deal with no more. A Hindi in the back, obey a penny. Remember how Christ told them, the one who will be the chief should be the one who should serve, which is opposite of the world, and also the one who will be the greatest in the kingdom is the one. That one must serve. That one should be the servant among you. That the world tells us, no. That the gospel of the world today tells us, no, you are the head, not the tail. It's opposite of what Christ taught us. Remember also another instance, the rich young ruler, his love for worldly possession hindered him from becoming Christ's follower. He also thought that coming to Christ means that he can maintain his richness and still have, such protection against it. That one to Mark 10, 21-22, we are told that then Jesus beholding him loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possession. This man was sad. It's not because his riches, but by his love for his riches. His love for his riches. He was sad. He didn't want to suffer. He thought he must enjoy his riches. So you see, he couldn't imagine losing his worldly gains. It goes against his hopes. But the believer can have everything. And the true believer is made willing to forgo, if he should forgo anything, for the sake of Christ. If I am genuinely saved. But indeed, this idea of worldly-mindedness and worldly gain advantages in the mind of many professing Christians today. Why? Because majority of professing Christians today love this false world and false gospel. Many are so-called converted through this. They said before them, believe in Christ and everything will be okay. Believe in Christ, there will be no sickness, there will be no pain, there will be no suffering. You give birth and everything. Believe in Christ and you, your business empire, you take territories. Believe in Christ and you be there. In the family, you be there, the head. That's what they are telling people. And people say, oh yes, oh, okay, now when I give my mind to Christ, this is what I should pursue. And foolishly, people think, okay, to put my mind on these things, and then I come to sit down and try to force myself so that I become rich. That's what they do. Thus, we all have colleagues who think this way, and they are pursuing the world with all their hearts, and they say they are business. Because they want to be rich in the world. And yes, because they have been told that they have to be the tail and be the richest people in the world. So, majority of professing Christians will love the false wealth and health gospel. Why? Because it promotes lust for worldly things. Any gospel that tells us to love worldly things is from the devil. Christ is separating us from the world. But this was saying that, no, Christ saved us so that he will enrich us in the world. So Christians must be the head, not the tail. In worldly matters. You look at the apostles, and in the Acts, apostles, Paul was going to Rome to do what? To preach the gospel of Christ, not to go and mend himself with politics, not to go there and try to overcome Rome with Christianity. Christianity overcame Rome when it was corrupted, when leaders who were corrupt took it up and thought that through Christianity they can have popularity. But when Apostle Paul went to Rome, they were there. He himself was imprisoned at Rome. And I'm sure he died through those, and many Christians were martyred. But when he became corrupted in Rome, then he took over, and the church became a popular thing in Rome. So you see that the false gospel always has embraced the embracing hand of the world. But the true gospel is always persecuted by the world. The world will love the gospel when it is watered down, when it does not lead us to repentance, when it does not tell us to look to Christ and to give ourselves to him, and that he changes our hearts, and that we obey only what God has said in giving the message of his death on the cross, and that we live in this knowing that he, without him, we are nothing. No. When the gospel is corrupted, such idea is also put away. So, any false gospel of human invention are welcomed by many in the world. Because today, Christianity is watered down. Look at how many people in our world like Christianity. It's an honorable to say I'm a Christian. Yes. Honorable to say. So when I go to the village, I see, just last week I went to my uncle's funeral. I knew my uncle that he was among those who goes to Juju and I for the chiefs. But yet, he was a sound Methodist. They praised him and they came to his funeral. He was a Christian in that sense. But I knew that he was the one with those who go out and seek protection for the chiefs and other things. That is how they see Christianity. Yes, we are all Christians. And yet we live as we please. No. The gospel, if we are able to know the true gospel of Christ, such ideas are gone. But when it is corrupted, when there is no stand for, when there is no genuine stand for Christ, such things we don't see. So many people welcome these ideas. So while they share the true gospel of Jesus Christ, that tells them of eternity, judgment to come, the value of the soul, the sinfulness of man, and its redemption in Christ. Why they throw this, they follow after gospel. They don't care about this. The true gospel tells us about this, and people are not happy. Because that is, eternity. Oh, some so-called Christians will tell you, we talk of eternity, we are suffering now, we want food to eat, they are talking of eternity. But yes, they see that the judgment to come. Sin. My life, sir, my life, how has my life been? Have I seek forgiveness of sin? I am forgiven. Am I forgiven? At the day of judgment, what am I going to stand before God for? No. People don't think of that. And yet they say they are Christians. They live anyhow, and they think they are Christians. And the false idea also that Christ's death has paid for all our sins. All that is needed now is how I try to add up so that at least my records before God will be fair. Christ has done everything, so everybody is saved. We are all Christians. So just try to live your life so that, or try to help the work of God so that your record will be nice. That's another idea that people also have. So you see many business people so corrupt, and yet they support so-called pastors and churches and their programs. Because some can even build a church meeting place in their hometown for the churches. Because, quote-unquote, Christ has died for our sins just to help the cause of Christ. No, it has nothing to do with that. That's not the gospel. So indeed, those that are ashamed of the gospel of Christ care for here and now, and more for the body than for the soul. Any gospel that promotes the interest for the body against the soul, it's false gospel. No, because we were never promised the gospel that when we are saved, our bodies are going to be saved. Not in this world, no. We are going to suffer. This body is going to suffer more. Because we are going to live in a society of sinners, and we will feel so many we use to entertain ourselves, we have to cut off. And this body is not going to like it. So when we are saved, the greatest enemy is ourselves, our bodies. Because it will claim for the old things. That's why sometimes Christians, we foolishly fall into sin, because the body is still there, the desires are still there, but it is broken down bit by bit when we give ourselves to the Spirit. You see, so when people promote the gospel, that thing makes the body the chief, or even anything come into the picture, it's a great error. So Lord Jesus Christ himself questioned people about this idea, about his own gospel, and how people should be careful. In Mark 8:36, said that, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You see, he compares just a single soul to all the things of the world. So you look at all the creation of God, and just a single soul. God values a soul, just a soul, than everything he has created. Because if he didn't, he wouldn't have sent his son to come and die. And he wouldn't send his son to come and die so that we can have these things of the world. It's foolish to think that way. Always I say, the Arabs, who are not Christians, who are not quote-unquote, they have the best of the world. They have the big of this world, the poor, and the money they have, so much money. So if we are in part of this where we think that having the world money make us true Christians, then we deceive ourselves. But Arabs, they are not Christians, but they have the rich yet. And even the richest people in the world are not Christians. I've never had any testimony of any rich person who is a Christian. So when people, I don't know, it's interesting that when it comes to the Bible and the gospel, people are so ignorant, people don't want to even think. When they are told this, then they take it. If people should think that, but I have people who don't care about church, but they are better in the world's eyes. Education, they are better, in business, they are better, in So why are you telling me? Or health-wise, they are strong. But they are not, they have not embraced the gospel. So why? They have 20 children and they live with hoary hair and they die. 100 years and they've never heard even of the gospel. What about them? You see, but people don't ask questions when it comes to things of our soul. We are more careful when COVID-19 comes. Okay. Oh, this herbal will help to ward off COVID-19. And people are rushing after it because we care for the body, not for the soul. Tell people about the soul. See, may the Lord help us. May the Spirit pour down His grace and to awaken many sinners. Else, many will die and go to hell. With the idea that Christ has died for our sins. And another thing we look at, why people are ashamed, is because the gospel is humbling. The gospel is what? It's humbling. The gospel declares without reservation that salvation is by grace alone and none of works. The ancient before, In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, and then we are told, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, which is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, not of yourselves, not of works, not of who I am, not of what I can do, but by the grace alone. The preaching of the cross of Christ, the genuine preaching of the cross of Christ, reserves no glory for self. If gospel is preached as it is, in genuineness of scripture, there's no promotion of self. We are nothing. All that we have is sin. And if we should claim anything from God, we should claim punishment, not anything good from Him. Because everything we do is tainted with sin, because we are sinful. Our whole nature is sin. So the preaching of the cross reserves no glory for self. It gives all the glory of salvation to the sufficiency of Christ's atonement. That Christ dying on the cross is enough. We just have to listen and give ourselves to Him and pray that God should have mercy on us through Him and give ourselves to Him. That is all that it's about. Faith in the gospel of Christ requires emptying of any words we seem to have. I say we seem to have because we are deceived by our heart that we are somebody. We have something that we can, oh, but I can do this or that. Oh, but I'm not too bad. So we always have a deceived goodness in us. We seem to claim to have goodness. Our intelligence, our goodness, our education, our influence, our status are useless when it comes to our salvation. For a man to be saved, whatever he has, whoever he is, is useless. It cannot add a bit to whatever it takes to be saved. In the Philippians chapter 3, Apostle Paul told us how he despised his dignity as an Israelite, and also his confidence in obeying the law to gain righteousness. Because he said that as a Jew, he was circumcised on the eighth day and keeping the law according to the strict order of the Jews. He was blameless. But yet he was not saved. But when he said that, when he came to know the knowledge of Christ, salvation of faith, righteousness by faith in Him, he threw away all those nonsense. And then he said that he counted them as done. And he owned only what was in Christ. And that was all that moved him to work for Christ. The faith in Christ, the righteousness that is in Christ. Nothing in him that was good. He was living strictly according to the Jewish order, according to the law. He was born and circumcised as a Jew under the law. But he claimed nothing of this to have any influence on his salvation. So it is that whatever religious ideas we may have, if it is against the free grace of pardon in the sacrificial death of Christ, then you are lost to God's righteousness. Whatever religious Christian ideas we have, if it is against this idea that through God's grace, free grace, offering His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross, there is forgiveness for us. That only and entirely we have put our hope on for Him to forgive us. If any idea you have goes against it, then you are lost. You can never, God cannot justify you. Because look at the verse 17 tells us that, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith. The righteousness which comes from God, not righteousness which comes from man. No. That which comes from God. Adam had it. When sin came, he lost it. When God breathed into him the bread of life and became a living soul, he was having a perfect righteousness before God. But when sin came in, he lost it. And all of us, we have lost it by sin. We reclaim this thing from God, not from ourselves. Ourselves, for the wages of sin, is death. All that I said, you can claim from God, is death, our punishment. And so if people claim to have anything, you should tell them they have punishment. They should take that from God, because our lives are full of sin. No one can deny that. So the gospel also renders all human effort to get right, with God, foolishness. Whatever system people, religious put in place to get right with God, is foolishness. Without the gospel, it's foolishness. Whether in the name of Christianity or in the name of any other religion, it's foolishness. It's foolishness. For the gospel points everyone to Christ, who is the only way, the truth, and the life, by whom we have access to the Father. To have access to God is through Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Obi has been made and also an amusement. The JD or the same one, name Kwan Benjamin, one from the name of Benjamin. So that all who are proud to devise any other way can never know or find God. All other systems. That it is no doubt that all other religions, even and also even those a branch of Christianity that have become false, the idea of God is false because they don't have the gospel. But the knowledge of Christ is access to the knowledge of true God. If we know Christ, because we are told in Hebrews chapter 1, he's the express image of his person. If you know Christ and who he stands for and who he is, remember when Thomas asked Lord Jesus Christ that he showed him the Father, he said that you have seen me and you have not seen the Father. Yes, God is not physical, but he chose to take a human nature in his son to come and show us who he is, his character, his holiness, his love, and his kindness, and that he went to the cross to show us the greatest love that will ever be. So you see that whatever system they put across, they cannot find God. But they will be left to them. They will be left to their own sins against the day of judgment. Such people will live in their sin to the day of judgment, when they shall be damned in hell with the devil that deceives them. Because all false gospels and false beliefs is championed by the devil. Yes, in Galatians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we are told that the devil had deceived them. He blinded people's eyes. Yeah, people love their sin, cover them with unbelief, with false gospel. And then they cannot believe on the true gospel. The devil will be cast into hell and there with him. As we are told in Revelation chapter 20, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, finally, and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. Those who deny the idea of hell, where will the devil be? The Bible tells not the only sinners going, the hell was prepared for the devil himself, but the sinners will be added because we have come as accomplished. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The devil were cast there, and those whose name are not in the Lamb book of life, those whose records are not in those that have been saved by this gospel of Christ, entirely by what he did on the cross of Calvary, having their hopes in him, where he gave them forgiveness of sin, a new life, and a new heart. Where he immediately saved them, he knows that those that he has saved, their records are with him, the Lamb's book of life. Because they have life. Those that are not in this book, they are also cast to hell with the devil. So those who deny the doctrine of hell, maybe they also deny the devil, and that God will not punish the devil. The devil will go to hell, and all those that believe in deception. So I quickly go to my second thought, and quickly we are done. And our second thought is that how is the gospel, the power of God's salvation to them that believe? We have looked at how people are shamed. So how is it the power of God's salvation to them that believe? For it is the power of God on salvation to them that believe. That's the last part of our verse. You know, in the beginning of God's creation of this world, God just spoke and everything came to being. Even when you consider this huge solar system that they tell us of, those who go to space come to tell us that they have all these pictures. You know, still much is unknown about this huge solar system. Yes, they just came to being just by the word of God. All the few things we see, just by the word of God. So, I mean, easier for God to create the world. But for a sinner to be reconciled to the Most Holy God, and for our sins to be forgiven us, and for our mind and heart to be pure from all defilement of sin, and to have power over lust, pride, greed, envy, and all forms of sin, God has decreed that by faith in the one for all sacrifice of his son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. That alone, even the most violent of sinners, can be clean when you come to trust in this. The world and everything we see so complex was so easy for God. But for a sinner to be converted to God, he has to send his son. He has to bring in his son to come and taste death for us. It's a weightier matter, but how weighty is it to us? So you can learn many great doctrines of the Bible. None can do you any real good if you have not believed. Yes, the moral lesson of the Bible, what people follow, it makes them sometimes good people on the outside. But the true good is from the gospel. Then what these moral lessons will really do you good? Else, you just become that good, but that good doesn't make you saved. Yes, the Bible, when we learn it, doctrines and principles, it makes us somewhat different from the world, because there are two. But all these doctrines cannot lead us to be saved, except this message that Christ has come to die for sinners. So, and also, the Holy Spirit, whose power is to effect salvation. You know that people also undermine the power of the Spirit. God sent his Son to die. His Son came to die. The Holy Spirit, now, he is the one who effects this work of salvation. People undermine, people think that, oh, I just said and I believe. No, there's a power working. That we call regeneration. There's a power working. Yes, we are passive to that. But it changes us. It works in the heart and changes us so that we're able to believe. Well, other than that, we cannot even believe. So the Holy Spirit, whose power is to effect salvation, convinces and convicts sinners when the gospel is preached. When the gospel, that's what he said, it's a power, but not just the gospel being preached. When it goes, the Holy Spirit comes in to make it work in people's hearts. Remember, Lydia's heart was open when she heard the gospel preached. Lydia was a religious woman, a Jew, a Jewess. But when she heard what Apostle Paul preached, obviously her heart was open. The Holy Spirit opened her heart to believe, and she became a Christian. Cornelius, a religious man, he was a Roman soldier, but became a religious man. We are told that he was a man who feared God and prayed. But he was not saved. So Peter, God sent Peter there to go and preach to him the gospel. And then he was saved. So see, religion cannot save us unless the gospel is heard and the Spirit moves it into our heart. The Philippian jailer who jailed Paul and Silas. How is it? When he was terribly afraid, what did he say? He says, what must I do? For Paul didn't tell him anything. He said, what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And he believed and he got saved. There's an evidence of this. And in every generation, millions have testified that they have tested the saving power of the gospel when they repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those of us who are Christians also can testify this, the change we have seen, how we were, and now how we have been. So you see, it's not something that, now that people think that it's just a fanatism. Oh, it's like I'm an Islam and I'm living as an Islam. No! There's a real power when the gospel is preached, and the Holy Spirit comes in, unknown to us, working. Because how does God maintain the world? We don't see his power. The same way the Holy Spirit comes, a matter of salvation. So coming to conclusion, I don't know about you. What about you? What about you? Have you felt the saving power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Has it brought this saving change into your heart? Because this saving power, the gospel, it makes external sin. Remember, Apostle Paul called these people, he called them saints here. Yes, in verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, the believers. And every believer is a saint, not because they are holy people, but because they are sinners, saved by grace. They are sinners whom the blood of Christ have forgiven, paid for their sin. And before God, though they are sinners, that God has anything against them. And God sees them as holy and righteous people. So it's a power that makes sinners sin, brings forgiveness to the repentant. When I want to repent of my sin, when I'm asking God to forgive me, that power that comes to bring me forgiveness. It also makes the liar to become honest. When a liar is converted, we are all liars before our conversion. And if we are not saved, we live a life of lie. Lie is like our tool to defend us. It makes the greedy to become content. When we were not saved, we were all greedy for one thing or the other. Okay? And sometimes we don't even see our greediness. But when our hearts are changed, we become content with all the situation we have. It makes the mindset generous. Sometimes we're unkind and all that, but when we ask it, realizing what the work done is that, it moves us to be the most kindest of all people. We know that in history, most of the works of humanity that have been done, hospitals and schools and other things, even the Red Cross and other things, it was done by two Christians who saw the need at the time. And they just did it to help humanity. And some people say that Christianity has done nothing to the world. The hospital system in the modern system was championed by Christians. The Red Cross that is helping those soldiers at war was championed by Christians. And many, many other things was championed by Christians just to help humanity. So you see, salvation makes people more generous than we can think of as people saying that they are generous. It makes the prayer less prayerful. Those who have never prayed before, those who have had wrong form of prayers, thinking they pray and they do not pray. Through salvation, the power of the gospel, when it comes to save us, it shows us to call God our Father and to be humble to before Him and to make and to pray to Him reasonably. Because many people, the many prayers that goes on, it's not reasonable prayer. Clapping on God, shouting on God, praying, saying anything without no knowledge, whatever we are saying, whether it's right or not. But when we are converted, we learn to pray. And Romans chapter 8 tells us we call God our Father. And how does children go to their father? You know, I'm sure those of us who have children, you know how our children come to us with kind of affection and so much reverence and love. And how do people go to pray in our world today, in many churches? I think God is at war with them. No. I think the Holy Spirit is there to just command and pray Him away. No. True saving faith in the gospel teaches us to pray. Grace teaches us to pray. There's a hymn. Grace first taught me to pray. Grace first prescribed the love of God in my heart. Grace is that and it's by the grace of God alone. So friends, God's power to save is not also in church attendance. Not be a member of a church or something you do for a church. That's one thing that I've deceived many. You go to some of these churches, they give people say, oh, God, I do this for the church. I'm a Christian. No, that is not. If you are not trusting only on the death of Jesus Christ, if you have not repented of, if you have not given Him, if you have not called Him and keeping your heart to Him and resting on His death alone, no, there's no salvation. So as I said, I don't know about you. If you are saved by this gospel, then happy are you. Then God is with you. And we are all as pilgrims journeying to heaven. But if you have not, then you must come to Jesus Christ. You must also come to Him. That's the only way. This is the message. Forget about all the holy gospels you hear around. That's if you're coming to become a Christian, become the head of the world. No. His death on the cross alone is the only hope for all needy sinners. You despise this, you despise your own forgiveness of sin. You can never have any forgiveness. You deceive yourself with good idea of being a Christian. And at the end of the day, as I quoted to you, your name will not be in the Lamb Book of Life. You perish with the devil and his angels. So, if you have not come, come also in repentance. Come, confessing all your sins and dangers and fears before the Lord Jesus Christ. Asking Him to help you. And you are safe. Giving your heart to Him. And you are safe. Then you are not afraid of the coming judgment. You will not be afraid of life difficulties. But He will stand with you. Because you live by His wisdom. So many things will be avoided. Many mistakes will be avoided. And then life will be better. And life will be, we will truly have a happy life in this world. And then the better one, the greater one in the life to come. May the Lord help us as we think about the gospel, the power of God to save. May He through more understanding to these things to our hearts. Let's pray.